You're listening to Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast for the crazy fan in you. What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another great edition of Pop Culture Fanatics, conversations for the fanatical fan inside of you. I'm your boy Val Cisco, as long with me always, it's the Creep Crew, the Murder Row over here, Murder Inc. themselves, the Irv Gotti of the podcasting world, Jay Rance. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. I'm chilling. What's going on with you guys? How y'all doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And of course, if we're going to talk about Murder Inc., we got to talk about the Ja Rule of the podcast right here. Murder!
I can't even do it, man.
What's up, Jake?
Hey, man, I'm pretty good. Fucking Jay with his ferocious opening is just like, hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm here. Good day, everybody. Yeah. Well,
you know me with my blandness.
And we are here because, number one, I took a week off, and that's my fault, guys. You know, mental health is a really big thing, and I was just plain old out of my mind last week, where I just needed everything to kind of stop for a second. So I appreciate you guys giving me the time, and whoever's listening to this as well too, that one fan in the Netherlands, you know, you're the real MVP right there. So
wait, didn't you say he was didn't Jake say he was big in the Middle East?
Oh yes, Jake, you're really big in like what, Syria or whatnot?
Oh shit,
right?
I don't even remember, man. Yeah, but it was somewhere there. Good for them.
Well, guys, we are an international bunch over here. International love all day. No Neo, no Chris Brown, no Pitbull here. Just
I'm loving
us.
The early 2000 hip hop R&B references from the jump.
we're starting this off hard. And why we're all together? Well, we gave everybody a couple of days. Actually, we gave them a week trying to process a couple of things. And now we're here to talk about it. We're here to talk about two things specifically. We're going to do the first half on, of course, the Snyder Cut Justice League that came out last Thursday. And, of course, to end things on the podcast, we're going to be talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier. Oh, you're feeling it.
I'm still mourning.
We're going to get to it right here. But we're going to give DC some love because we haven't done that in a long time. And guys, you know what? I came out of watching Justice League and I felt like I had an outer body experience. I'm going to be real with you right now. From the first shot of friggin' Henry screaming like a baby, waking up the whole entire galaxy to say that he's dead, to those final, that final cut, that final scene right there of the nightmare Suicide Squad, if you will. I don't know. I was gushing from start to end. So I'm gonna hand it over to Jacob first. Jacob, how did you feel about, number one, going into Justice League? Were you hyped? Were you interested? Was this something that you were kind of captivated with at first before you watched it?
No, not at all. To be honest, like I didn't even understand the hype about the Snyder Cut. And I know we had talked about it several times, and I know, like, you know, it was a huge thing on the internet, but I still didn't get it. I still didn't understand it. I totally forgotten that he was even part of the fucking film, so that's my fault, and I will own that. So going into it, I didn't have any expectations. I didn't see this as the Snyder Cut. I saw this as, oh, well, this is gonna be like some deleted scene shit, or, you know, probably some extra scenes that just never made it, you know, something along the lines of that. boy, was I wrong. I mean, girl, I was... And here's the thing. That time flew by, but it didn't. It was like the moment I pressed play, I was just in this, as you said, you know, outer body experience. I was just floating in space, enjoying this ride. It was like that scene from that movie where I'm just on the fucking dragon, that fluffy, hairy dragon, just like, you know.
Never end your story. Never
ending story.
How dare you?
Popcorn. You're on a pop culture podcast.
Right? That's how hyped I am, though. That's how hyped I am. But, no, I was left blown away, and I'm ready to spend another 4 hours, not waste, spend another 4 hours watching that movie again.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to throw it to Jay Rance over here. I got to get your opinions, man. Barry Allen going into the Speed Force, you know, Jake felt like he was in space. That whole galaxy scene of jumping into the Speed Force, having an outer body experience of himself. How did you feel going into this? Were you hyped going into Justice League 2.0, 1.0?
I wasn't really that hyped because, as you guys know, I saw the original version like an hour before, you know, the Josh Whedon, an hour before watching the Snyder Cut. So I wasn't really hyped, you know, coming into the Snyder Cut. So I was like, let me see what the big deal is. I remember you telling me, don't watch it, just jump into the Snyder Cut because that you don't want CGI little chin hairs popping out and stuff like that. So I was like, nah, but I have to watch it to see what is the difference and why people bash it so much. So I wasn't hyped, but boy, like Jake said and like you said, it really... And it was so good that I saw it like an hour before into the Snyder Cut, because you really see the discrepancy from the Josh one to the Snyder Cut. And I was like, wow, it's crazy. And then seeing the Barry Allen, you know me, when he was just like, I gotta go faster than speed itself and light speed and just reversing time. And I was like, oh my God, this is fucking epic, bro. Like, I was just so excited. Everything from beginning to end. I mean, I did take a little longer because, you know, remember, like,
oh, yeah,
that was bugging out, so I had to lapse it out during the day. But, yeah, man, it was a fucking experience. I apologize for all
that. No, because you're right. I totally forgot I had did that too. I had put it on, you know, while I was working, so I just kind of let it play in the background. The original. And I just remember, like, I pretty much tuned out like 90% of that movie because I totally remembered like how just uninterested I was in it. And the little bit that I did watch, I was like, man, like, this is such a mess. Like, oh, I thought I was gonna be jumping right back into it, except with like an extra 2 hours of just deleted scenes. I was like, so y'all gonna make my day worse? Is that how this is gonna go? Go ahead.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the Josh Whedon version is definitely the B2K out of the movie scenes, but the Snyder Cut, right there, that is the boys to men. Okay, that is an instant manly classic right there. And I don't know where to start, where to end, where to begin, but you know what? Let's just start off with the differences. You know what? It's great that Jay saw the original version before he saw the Snyder Cut. So your thoughts on the original version, like, just as a whole, from start to finish, like, what were your thoughts?
HBO Max should just take it down. It's terrible. Because everything that Snyder does, and I think I was reading an article that he didn't even watch the Josh Whedon version until his was out and done and everything. So, like, but it, first of all, it's an easier movie to get into. It's captivating from the jump, like you said, where you see Kal-El screaming, just waking up the mother boxes and everything and stuff like that. As opposed to, you know, how the Josh Whedon version did it. I gotta stop dropping his name. I feel like I'm just announcing him every time. But, like, the original version, it... I don't know. It was just so meticulous. And first of all, the biggest thing for me, why it was so easy to get into, it was your boy Steppenwolf. Like, I could not stand the original Steppenwolf. So once I saw the path that Snyder went, just making him look more meaner, making him look aggressive, giving him a reason. You know, this guy was like in 50K world debt to Darkseid. So he was giving him a purpose. And it was just so impactful. I was like, okay, this is a bad guy that I could get behind. I even felt bad when they chopped his head off. And you didn't get that little crying, mother, she's calling to me, mother, I hear you. So that immediately just wrapped me up. And then, you know, the Flash, I felt like the Flash was just kind of out of place in the first one. Here it was just so organic, so natural. And, you know, I love the Flash, so that's another thing that made it so easy for me. And every moment, I did like the part one, part two, part three. Everything felt impactful in each part. So, you know, but for me, that's what it is. That it was really the Steppenwolf, bro, because I couldn't get into the Steppenwolf and everything else.
No, yeah, I totally agree with you right there too. Steppenwolf is such a badass in this movie. It makes sense. It kind of felt like, which is crazy because Whedon is a comic book nerd himself, and you would have thought that he would have, I don't know, just was more in tune with what was happening with the Mother Boxes or Darkseid or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where the direction was with Steppenwolf calling to the Mother Boxes as like a mother figure or whatnot. I just didn't get that. But I will say, like, superior parts of the Snyder Cut compared to the original, that last half an hour makes so much of a difference and gives everyone a prime scene to really to really sink your teeth into. Like the original, me and Jake were laughing our asses off because of the fact that they took away that useless Eastern Family part, which made no sense whatsoever.
It honestly felt, and if you know what we're talking about, then you know, but like it honestly just felt like something that was written last minute to throw in, like, oh, let's throw in like a feel-good moment, you know, to give Barry Allen, to give the Flash something to do, you know, let's give that hero that actual, you know, there's really been no people in here, so let's throw some people in here to be saved. Literally like a last minute thing, and it was just unnecessary. It was just completely unnecessary. So
bugs.
Yeah. The thing is, everything that was in the Zack Snyder cut that wasn't in the Whedon version or something that was just completely rewritten, it was so phenomenal that it stood out immediately. Like, it was just superior, and the fact that you almost forget what happened in the other movie because it's like now, because it all comes together. Go ahead.
I will say this though, there's probably two scenes that I may have missed from the original, and they're so small and minuscule, but they mean something to me. Like, I'm a big fan where Superman shows that all-American heroic side sometimes, and I found it very genuine, or not genuine, but it was a ha-ha moment. It definitely was, you know, Barry Allen saving this family right then and there. But you have Superman, he looks over the shoulder, Superman's like flying so majestically from the building, just like I could outdo you just like this. And I thought that was kind of cute. That was fun. And then of course the race that they were supposed to have as well, to Flash versus Superman, to see who was the fastest. I felt like that, I do love that, because that's straight out of the comic books as well too. So I'll take that from the original version. If I would have had that in this version, it would have been super, super like a 10.5 off the Richter scale right there. But it's okay though. It's fine. It doesn't make sense for the movie, so that's why a Snyder cut.
Yeah, I remember.
Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
the one thing I do, I kind of want to piggyback off you with Steppenwolf, because and I remember if I had texted to you, but or if y'all remember when I had texted to y'all, when he's having, I don't know if it was the first or second meeting with Darkseid, and that's when you're getting his backstory and, you know, his purpose for doing what he's doing. And the look on his face, which I think you shared it, Frank, that got replaced with the fucking child.
with the Grogu?
with the fucking eyes, you know? But the thing is, it's like seeing that emotion, like it made me sympathize with him for that moment, you know what I mean? Because you felt his purpose and you almost kind of felt his pain, because what he did made sense. Like, he's trying to redeem himself. He wants to go home. Like, he doesn't want to fucking be there. When you're thinking about, like, goddamn, like, here's one planet and got 49,000 more to go, you know, or however fucking many that he had. Like, it's insane, right? So you kind of feel bad for him. And like I said, that even though it was, like, CGI, just that emotion that they were able to portray in that, like, it felt human and it felt, like, fucking real and graspable, you know? I love that.
Mm-hmm. I gotta agree with that. That's one thing that immediately I was like, all right, bro, this dude has purpose. He was even mean to his own bugs when he was telling him, go get the mother box. He would grab him by the scruff of their neck, go get it. Like, so he was vicious. I enjoyed that. One thing that I did miss, I know I'm cheesy like that because I love my stupid cheesy humor. I missed the Aquaman sitting on the lasso of truth. I really did enjoy that part from the first one.
I can live without that.
I enjoyed that because, bro, how he looked at, you know, Wonder Woman like, look at you, you know, you're hot. And just sharing in that moment, I did enjoy that because I do like cheesy humor. But the last half an hour, I did enjoy that because in the original version, I had to rewind it where Wonder Woman, you know, when they start saving Batman and helping Batman, coming together as a team, you really don't see it as you do in the Snyder Cut. You know, you get the little part where Alfred was like, oh no, this is a team, sir, things like that. And you really didn't see that until you saw the Snyder Cut, because I had to go back and I'm like, oh wait, was that Flash just running in the original cut? So here you see, you know, everybody has an epic moment with this dude riding the car, the Batmobile, and Batman having his moments battling. You saw the unisons just coming together, and that I really did appreciate that. And just the battle outside, it made it freaking epic with, you know, and taking away the Russian family. So that was pretty cool. I thought
completely, and I absolutely love that. And honestly, that's what I took away comparing it to I really don't like to compare, and I'm gonna always be the person to say don't compare, you know, MCU and the whatever DC,
universe.
No, because they're just two separate entities. You know, they have their things on their own. But what I loved is all the unison that you got from the Justice League in the Snyder Cut, which I really didn't see a lot of. I mean, even in the Avengers, you know, the Infinity War movie and the last one, Endgame, right? It's like one thing, it always focuses on just like a small collection of characters, or even just like single ones in their moments as they're doing what they're doing. But like the unison of like coming together when they did, as they did throughout Justice League, just stood out to me so much. I don't know exactly why or what it is. Maybe it was the music, maybe it was just like the right timing for it, and just the way it was executed was just like beautiful. And it was almost kind of like watching the cartoon way back on Cartoon Network back in, you know, the 2000s. It gave me that kind of feeling. It's why I love the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and talk about the two breakout characters of this movie. Definitely they were cut short from the original version, but let's talk about Cyborg and Barry Allen Flash right here, because yeah, we did see glimpses of hope in the original cut, but with the Snyder Cut, you know, you really get to see Barry Allen's personality and deep dive into his motivations and why he has so much self-doubt. And then, of course, like the star of the show, you know, with Ray Fisher, with Cyborg, you know, the depression that he's going through, the downward spiral, the lack of empathy, you know, almost like the machine is taking over who he is. And I like that duality, because you got to see exactly the depth of this character, the depth of this actor, how much he can play someone that's stone cold and calculated, you know, cold as a machine, but also has a heartbeat as well too. Every time he talked, every time he went inside his own mainframe and narrated his own story in a way, I felt the humanity
inside him still trying to break out. And then you felt the coldness when he shrugged everybody else away, too. I love these two characters. Jake. Who wants to take a crack out of that?
Jake.
No, you go for
take
it.
It really was a Cyborg story at the end of the day, if you look at it, and I can understand why he was pissed the hell off from the original movie, because it was a Cyborg story. If you look at the Snyder Cut, that's what it really is. Like, Wonder Woman 88 was a Diana story. So, I did like that, because kind of like you said, you see him battling, the machine is taking over, he has all this knowledge, the downward spiral that he's been in, that he was going through. You know, these are subject matters that touch and stick out to, you know, a lot of people and stuff like that, because we all been on a downward spiral and stuff like that. But you see the humanity come through, you see him trying to just, when was it, like, the little redemption, like, when he met Diane, she was like, I see you, you're working to get back to humanity and stuff like that, get to your human side. So I thought that was pretty epic, with the empathetic side, when he raised I don't remember her name, but the lady's bank account, that he was like, all right, when he was listening to the tape of his father's, like, you have everything right at your fingertip, but it's just what you do with it, you know, kind of like the Avengers video game is, good is not a thing that you are, it's a good thing, good is a thing that you do. So that was pretty cool. And the Barry Allen, like you said, the fact that his father was locked up, the fact that you can definitely see there's going to be flashpoints that he's going to go back in time to just, you know, justify that his father was wrongfully indicted and things like that. So those caveats were pretty cool to me, like you said.
Oh, yeah. Starting with Barry Allen, you know, and his thing, what I liked was his cheesiness in the Snyder Cut was more tolerable because, again, we got to spend more time with him, and it didn't feel as forced, and it didn't feel like he was being used solely as comedic relief as I felt like he was with the original cut. So it's definitely a very different atmosphere with him and a very different vibe. I wish I could have seen more of just his powers and, you know, more of him, just more of him fighting. It's the one thing that did kind of just, I guess if it's one gripe I have about the movie, it's just like how many slow motion scenes there were in here. There was just like a shit ton of slow motion. And I get why, but I felt like anytime we were focusing on, you know, the Flash, it was always slowed down for us to see him moving. Like, why? Is that because of technology purposes or what?
I think that's an aesthetic change that Snyder does for his movies. If you look at all Snyder's movies, they all, 300, Watchmen, Sucker Punch, I could go on, they all have that slow-mo kind of feel. But in particular with The Flash, I think we've seen so many times in different iterations of speedsters. We look at The Flash on the TV show on CW, or you look at Quicksilver in all his variations as well too. Everyone has their own way of kind of making their own speedster for a live audience or for an audience to see. So I think with Snyder, you have to look at it from a scientific point of view. It's not just speed that he's tapping into. He's so fast that everything from a luckier level is just slowing down. And that's where his power comes from. It's not that he's just super fast. It's that he is accelerating so fast that whatever he touches is basically like super strength. That's why he's so great. That's why that last scene right there where he is just basically running through time and tapping into the Speed Force is such a perfect, a perfect comic book comparison to who Barry Allen is. He's very selfless, but also selfish at the same time. You have to look at it on that side. So you have to combine Snyder's vision of what he does in his movies with Barry Allen's power set as well, too. Because I think we could see that from the TV show. We could see just a guy running with lightning balls, like zzz. And then at a point, you're like, meh, like, true. Superman can go really fast, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it comes to a point, like, Aquaman can swim really fast. So everybody is, like, a speedster in their own right. So what makes Barry Allen so special? And I think they portrayed
it
so well.
But it could have been done in more special moments than all the fucking time. and then I would have been okay if it would have given me a better balance. That would have been great. Like, especially with the fight against Superman, I would have loved to see more of his, I mean, like that first part, the first thing, you know, when you're seeing fucking Superman's eyes just like slowly turn to him,
yeah,
was like the greatest fucking thing ever, right? Because his Barry Allen's face after that was just like the great, like that was just pure acting, and I love it.
I don't know if it was just me, but I apologize for cutting you off, Jake and Val. I don't know if it was just me, but one thing I also did appreciate from the Snyder Cut, every time Flash ran, he didn't look like he was just like waddling and just swaying all over the place. Like, it looked a little bit more uniform. Is it just me wanting to just notice that, or did he look a little bit more uniform in the running?
So he did, yes. I will say this just for Jake and for yours as well too. Like, I'm pretty sure, you know, Jay, because mm-hmm. you love the Flash, you mm-hmm. love Barry Allen. He's one of your favorite characters. This is pretty much like year one Barry Allen. Like, when you look at his suit, like, you have to really analyze the suit. And I saw this from the original cut as well too.
Yeah,
his suit is makeshift. Like, there's mm-hmm. still like wire holding it all together. Like he's very much this little man cave that he has with all the computers and all dingy and stuff like that. He's very much doing year one things right now. So whatever he's doing, whether he's trying to do his power set or lack of, you know, he's already. But here's the thing too. This is how brilliant the storytelling of Barry Allen is. He already knows mm-hmm. the rules to his power set. That's why he's mm-hmm. not going full mm-hmm. blown Flash. Because he already knows how dangerous the Speed Force is, how dangerous it is to travel back in time, and what can happen. Which leads me to think
I actually did get that. Yeah. Because I even think he had mentioned it, because he was speaking really fast at one point, and I don't remember who he was talking to, but I remember he brought it up for a second, and that's when he said it's like I think he was doing like the calculations for it. And that's when I caught that, and I was like, mm-hmm. he's had to have like attempted it, or, you know, probably even by accident, which may have been most likely what had happened. Going into Cyborg story, what I loved about Cyborg story was that it had a lot more meat to it. Huh? I get it. But all around, because like it, like we didn't just get Cyborg, but we got more of Scylla Stone, right? Am I saying his name right? And we even got like a little bit of Ryan Choi, who, if I read right, is Adam. He's the Adam, yeah.
Yeah,
he's so, the Adam. Like, I love, like, all that we got to it. So, because we even had those characters involved, again, that's what makes it more feel like a Cyborg story. And honestly, I felt like I was also able to get to know Cyborg more, especially his interactions with Diana. They didn't just feel like randomly thrown in there like in the original ones. Like, I felt like more of a relationship building between them, you know, that relationship of trust, right? And I think she honestly would have been the only one to have reached him the way that she did, because of that understanding. Because I honestly, you know, they're two both people in a way out of this world, right? Because now, you know, Cyborg's mind is literally inside this computer more than half the time, right? He's seeing all the shit that we can't see. He's part of a world that we only see from the outside. So I felt like that's why their bond was like really great and felt more special in this movie, because in a way they're not from here in a sense. But yeah, and I love that we got to explore more of his powers and him trying to see everything that he can do, from the flying to you know, hacking into a fucking ATM, you know, just little things like that. It felt special. So I'm glad that we did get more of that, and after seeing more of that, you know, without getting too involved into politics, but I can understand why everything happened the way, you know, everything that happened, how it happened, and why it happened after, you know, the movie. Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense now, and I can understand that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm going to throw it to Jay real quick, because he is like, you know, my ride or die comic book collector as well too. So, and a little weird, but I'm gonna throw this question to you because, you know, we were right smack in the middle of the New 52 when it came out. And I believe this is when Cyborg officially was like a founding member of the Justice League when that happened. So I'm gonna throw it to you. Do you enjoy Cyborg as, number one, a founding member, or at least even part of the Justice League? Or do you feel like he still should be with the Titans, or at least the Teen Titans? Do you feel like there's meat on both ends, or do you prefer another one? One or
well,
the other?
I mean, I never, I mean, I F with Cyborg to a certain extent, but I think he's such a big name in the DCU that he no longer deserves to be a Teen Titan. Because if you look at it, I feel Teen Titans is kind of like Young Avengers, West Coast Avengers, you know, or like you're just like the lesser version of what the Justice League is. So, I think there's a lot of meat on this character for it to be, and I don't mind it for him to be in the Justice League, and I think he deserves his spot, and he should be taken out of the Teen Titans because he's just too big for it. Me, hypothetically, not hypothetically, you hear me? I'm talking about just like what I think and I believe in the comic lore. He's too big for that. How do you feel about it?
Okay. It's tough for me because I grew up with Cyborg and the Teen Titans, and to me, it's like, I feel like he gets a pass because of his power set, and I get it. Like, you know, he's the only one, you know, in the Teen Titans, and then you want to throw it into the Justice League where he's like literally like a human internet. Like, basically, he's a human web browser. That's what he is. He can hack into everything. You know, he's like literally Big Brother. Yeah. Like, he is a satellite. But it's like, I don't know, it kind of devalues the rest of the Teen Titans, or at least the Titans, when they formally turn into the Titans. Like, you know, he gets a pass, but you know, you know me, I love myself Dick Grayson. And Dick Grayson has been part of the Justice League a couple of times, but I don't see Dick Grayson making that jump to the Justice League as a mainstay the way Cyborg is. I don't see Starfire doing that. I don't see Beast Boy doing that, or Changeling, since they want to use that.
Wait, that's
now.
What they call him?
And they go back and forth with it. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah,
so, ooh, everybody's cracking up. Like, hold on. okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jake. I know you're more into the cartoons. Teen Titan as a show, you know, the cartoon, heavily Cyborg as a comedic relief character. Do you enjoy him more in the Justice League, or do you like him as a comedic character in Teen Titans?
To be honest, taking like the two different written characters like out of the equation, because his power, like, at some point, yes, I see him going to the Justice League, but I think it's important for him to be part of the Teen Titans, and I guess that's what I love is you know, you can't, like, no matter what, you can't just wake up and suddenly know how to do everything, know how to use your powers, right? Like, that's the importance of the Teen Titans, especially for them. It's like, you have to crawl before you walk, like, no matter what your powers are. And I think that's why it fits so well, why Cyborg fits so well with the Teen Titans. I can see it in the Justice League. I can't tell you which I prefer over the other, because I, especially sticking with the cartoons, like, if you age him a bit, maybe I can see him in a cartoon way, you know, fitting in with the Justice League. But again, not just because of his age, but because of, you know, the timeline, I cannot, unless he's been in the game for a while, I cannot see him outside of the Teen Titans.
I feel like...
See, you make a great...
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. You make a great point, Jake, because the age part is really big for me. And I feel like in the movie, it works perfect because, you know, you have a guy who, you know, who's basically in college right now. His whole world's upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Essentially losing all his family, his parents. The one person that he can relate to is not Diana. And I don't think those Diana parts, they're endearing, but I don't buy it. The parts that I buy, though, is for his relationship with Barry. Because a younger Barry works with a young Cyborg. Because they could look at each other as, yeah, we're essentially freaks with powers, but we're young dudes and we can shoot the shit. Like, you can't have a conversation with Cyborg and Batman. You can't have it with Superman. You could barely have it with Wonder Woman or Aquaman. But their relationship, it works so well in the movie. Whereas in the comics, I feel like they have to, like, I guess, mentally age him more. Even though he's semi a teenager, like, they have to mentally age him more. Like, you need to put your big boy pants up right now because you're with the Justice League. And I just never bought that, because, you know, in that era in the comic books, especially the New 52 when it came out, you know, Barry's already a full blown adult. You know, Batman, you know, full blown adult. Everybody's full blown in there. Cyborg is still the baby fresh person that needs someone to kind of coddle him a little bit, because at the end of the day, he's still a teenager. Go ahead, Jay.
Yep. Oh yeah, no.
Oh, there he is. Okay, there you go.
My phone's bugging out. I don't know. I just feel like after maybe seeing the Snyder Cut, seeing the growth. I mean, I can. I don't know if Jake was trying to say for the cartoon version, like, you kind of just see him more as a mentor role to the Teen Titan. That's where you were trying to, like, get at, or just you still see him, like, walking before, you know, like,
yeah, no, more of just crawling before he walks. It's because, again, like, he hasn't just had time not just to age but to really understand his powers and, you know, what he needs to do with him. So you take those two factors, right? That, you know, he hasn't really get, and now he doesn't even get to really experience life anymore, right? Like, his life is totally changed around, so he doesn't get to enjoy his 20s like most quote-unquote normal people would. So he's got to learn everything from the start. So yeah, like it's just in a bad position.
I mean, yeah, I get the points you guys are trying to make. Maybe it's just me. I just have a little tunnel vision for, like, as much stuff that he's done in the comic book lore for me. So it's kind of like, I feel that this dude should be in a bigger position, this character. And especially with the Snyder Cut now, where a lot of people can gravitate to him, and we saw the meat on his character. So I feel that he deserves a spot in the Justice League, to me. You know, and kind of like you said, you know, he's a big brother. He's kind of like a little Jarvis, things of that nature. I hate to compare to MCU.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, but see, that's what bothers me right there, is that you put him in the Justice League, he's already regulated to the Red Tornado role, or the Jarvis role, and I feel like he has much more depth, and when he was, before the New 52, and what we have right now as well, too, because it's kind of, like, mixed together, you know, he had a lot of growth. Like, you know, he dated, he had relationships, he tried to figure himself out. When New 52 happened, it was less of a cyborg, more of a robot, like, more of a straight up machine over man. And for me, I like the duality. When you're looking at a cyborg character in general, in any aspect, you always question what's more apparent, the man or the machine. And I feel, from the New 52, like, the New 52, when it came out, it kind of erased the history of the Titans, and it automatically put Cyborg on a pedestal where, like, I'm a kid, I had an accident, I'm part of the Justice League with all these adults. And in this, the movie, it makes sense. Like I said, I have no gripes with the movie whatsoever with Cyborg, because, like I said, the Barry Allen relationship works, because they're essentially the same age, if you want to throw that in there, but their chemistry works. Like, Barry takes the role of a Beast Boy, almost, like, you know, of a best friend, of someone who, like, jokes around and gets on Cyborg's nerves. That favorite part that you liked so much, when he's like, ooh, you know, you think Wonder Woman's single, you know, or likes younger men, you know, he makes that joke. That chemistry right there works so well. I don't see that when I'm reading the comics, but when I read the comics for the New 52, I felt like it was more like he even had an arc where the machine took over with the grid and whatnot. So it's like, it's hard for me to commit, but I feel like I'm going off topic right now, guys. I apologize. Let's go into favorite moments. Jay, what were your favorite moments of the Snyder Cut?
Favorite moments. There are a few. Of course, Barry Allen you know, traveling through time itself, just reversing back everything. I did enjoy the Amazon, their battle with Steppenwolf. That was brilliant. It was well elaborated.
Mm-hmm. Sexy.
another favorite moment. The battle where, you know, like, everybody united, each race. That battle was more elaborate, even though they bushed out Kilowog. that battle was super more elaborated, and that was a great moment. I know you had the gripe where you said, I feel like they bushed out Darkseid, but I think it was great for Darkseid, and he saved at the fact that, you know, the gods, the Amazons, the Atlanteans, humans, everybody had to team up to just wound this guy. Not even off him, just to wound him. So I think that was great. Barry Allen, once again, when he just went into the Speed Force, and, you know, when he touched the glass, and it just didn't break immediately, it just like melted to his touch, and then it broke, like it warped. That was freaking awesome. The talk that Wonder Woman and Aquaman had, you know, because, you know, Atlanteans and Amazonians, they had their beef and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool, them bonding. I have a lot of favorite moments, bro. Like, I could just keep going. One more before I the talk where the resurrection of Superman, whereas in the original version it was just Bruce, you know, or we gotta wake him up, we gotta get him, and they were just all in agreement, and they knew what they had to do. But, you know, here comes Barry Allen. He was like, we know what we got to do, but I'm not going to say it. Who's going to say it? And then the hologram, Cyborg just comes up with the hologram of Superman. I thought that was pretty freaking cool. And then the ending battle, like Jake said, where he enjoyed the unisons, where the portal opened up and you saw Darkseid, and then you saw, what's her name? I keep forgetting. Granny something. Yeah, Granny Goodness.
Granny Goodness.
And
so good.
And then they were just sitting there, and then just kind of like, Earth is always going to be the thorn in Darkseid's side. You know, like, they were just standing there like such badasses. Like, nah, bro, we got some. We're the new protectors here. You're not going to get your, I keep forgetting the something, the anti-life. You're not going to get the anti-life. So that was pretty majestic how they were standing there. Did I just say Cyborg going into the mother boxes, separating them, going into the visions? And so, that was a pretty epic moment as to the original version, where he just literally went into them, and then you saw like little creepy old women and stuff. I don't know. I just have favorite moments. I apologize. Jake, what are your favorite moments?
Ooh, I love the geek out moment right there, bro. That is fantastic. That's why we do this.
No, I think one of my biggest favorite moments, and what was great, was me and Frank got to share that moment via text, was the battle with the original gods. Like, that was just epic beyond, you know, any words can describe, because, like, you're immersed there in this fantastic directing of a scene, right? Where you're just like, you're not even really like rooting, you're just watching the battle go down, right? And yeah, the fucking Green Lantern dude.
Yeah, he got
twice
out,
that was like, goddamn, like, how weak is this race, man, where they're just taking them out fucking one by one.
Listen, they don't have the will that John Stewart or Hal Jordan had, or Kyle Weiner, okay? That's what I got.
But yeah, okay. So, you know, and it makes you like, it kind of gave us the feeling to want to see like a whole chapter of that on its own. Like, I want to see all that go down. I want to see that in more detail, right? So just that scene its own. I got to give it to my man, Martian Manhunter. Like his scenes, his appearance, was useless.
Useless. Useless.
Hey guys, I'm
showing
here.
Up at the end. Oh, I just want to let you know, I'm ready. I'm ready for a battle. Whatever. go fuck yourself, okay, John Jones. That's his actual name.
No.
Go
fuck
yourself,
was,
John Jones. Okay.
Useless, but seeing him there, though, like I have to admit, I geeked out Like, yeah, because it was awesome, especially because that is not the way I would have pictured him in a live action movie. So I was like, oh.
No. We will not discuss my sex.
Please do it.
That was some. No, we're gonna do it right now. My man comes out of nowhere. Is that steel? That shit. Yo, I lost it. My heart melted.
I can't. I'm watching it, and then, oh yeah, get back to the world. The world needs you. I'm like, wait, bro, why you looking like steel? When did steel start?
You know, Jake, Martian Manhunter showing up is the equivalent of Shaquille O'Neal turning into Steel in that horrible movie as well. But I get you though. I like the fact that we got some Easter eggs. Manhunter.
You know, overall, I did enjoy Superman more in this movie because it just it had more emotion to it. You know what I mean? And the overall fight too. Again, I got Justice League. I didn't get Batman, Wonder Woman, you know, Flash, Aquaman just kind of doing their own things. I didn't get that. You know, I didn't get singular heroes just kind of thrown into the mix and like, all right, go have a fight. Right? No, I got the Justice League, you know, in every fight scene that was there. And it was just fantastic. So it was just the little things, the little detail, the music, the color didn't bother me this time. I didn't care. I thought it fit well. With the overall aesthetic of the movie, so it was a lot of the little things that made a difference.
You know, I have some gripes with Superman, but I'll talk about that in a second. But as far as like favorite parts, you know, for me, it has to be the original battle of the old gods versus the new gods. That was so spectacular, so much better than it was brought to you in the original version. The unison with the Amazons, the Atlanteans, when you saw Atlan with the freaking staff just spinning it, jamming it to the ground, doing absolutely nothing besides making force fields, sure, screaming, rah! Like, good for you, Atlan. Do your thing. When you saw Zeus and Ares and Athena
Artemis
just going
as well.
To town on Artemis on the Parademons.
He wasn't
and,
an old man.
You know, Ares just, you know, hurting Darkseid as well too. And
Lupus.
Yes, he wasn't an old man. He wasn't. What's his name? Lupus. Loomis. Which I
was slightly
died
too,
right
like,
there.
Oh my God,
it would have been good if you got him. It just would have. It would have been good. I would have.
That's what then I was
got,
like. I was
you know,
like,
Leonidas Zeus over here throwing lightning bolts. That was great.
That ass.
Hey, listen, Zack Snyder. If he wants to throw 300 in there, he'll throw. If it was Gerard Butler, I would have lost my shit. That was great. And just Green Lantern did get bushed out. You know, he got his hand chopped off. But I'll just say this. You know, at least it wasn't like a super known lantern.
What are you talking about? Kilowog is super known.
Okay, no. Kilowog is the second lantern that gets killed in a dream sequence. The first one that gets killed is someone a little different. I forget his name, but at least it's not like a main lantern like a Kilowog or like an Abin Sur or whatnot that gets like pushed out. I would have preferred it being Abin Sur because then you would have kind of played into who's that ring going to or whatnot. I digress. That part right there was just magical to me. I could take a whole movie with that. I'll say it right now since none of you guys mentioned it.
I knew it. I knew
the
it
nightmare
coming.
Sequence.
That's why I mentioned it. I knew you were going to say it.
I have wet dreams about that nightmare sequence. That Bro, that, like, just cursing up a storm with the jersey coming out of him. I'm like, bro. Oh, this is what I need. This is Batman with a gat and goggles cursing. Yeah, all good. All perfect right there. Deathstroke with a mohawk. Amber Heard actually acting pretty well. She's not like clueless Mera and fucking Aquaman, and she's not fucking like the girlfriend of Pineapple Express. She's at the badass. She's
garage. Garage.
Like, my heart. Garage. You know, let's talk about her for a second. Did it bother anyone?
I never saw Aquaman, so I didn't know if that was supposed to be there or not. But, I mean, were they... I didn't really hear anyone else talk besides William Dafoe. And, I mean, he just has his...
him and his long locks staring at people.
I really didn't have a problem with the accent because, you know, I guess it was kind of just to, like, separate. Usually when you have, like, a majestic race of something like this, you gotta have a little accent to make them, you know, I guess feel better than you.
It like, worked. So
it did.
Yeah. It worked. And it felt regal, right? Google, it felt like yeah, she was, exactly. like, yeah, a like, princess regal, yeah. or a
so
queen.
So that's not really that yeah. problem with it. I mean, I really did just have a problem with her just thunder clapping up a storm the whole time. Like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm like, bro, do something else.
Her little fight with Steppenwolf was incredible. Oh, I loved it. Yes, you know, trying to drain out the water out of his system. Yeah. It just shows how great Mera is. Mera is one of my favorite characters as well, too. Yes, there's a lot of drama with Amber Heard in Hollywood. I get it with the Johnny Depp things, cancel Amber Heard. I get it. I totally get it. But if you separate things, I'm a guy who loves pro wrestling. I love Chris Benoit for his body of work, not for the bodies he took with him. So I could separate that, and I could separate her performance in this movie from all the bullshit with Johnny Depp. And I thought she did. In this movie, I thought she looked 10 times better than Aquaman.
She did, because in Aquaman, she was just kind of like playing that. I mean, she was trying to play like that. Okay, I'm kind of guiding you, but it was kind of pointless, I guess, in the sense where you just saw the little romance coming through more and just like the pointless blonde. Of course, she's a redhead, but the pointless blonde, like, I'm falling for you, you know? So that's why she looked a little bit clueless as to here, where she seemed very powerful. Like, you know, like, okay, I'm effing Mera, so let's do it. So... you know what though, but chill, Loki though. But this is a tangent. Actually, yo, when I was this morning I heard Electric Avenue, so it's perfect that you know what I'm talking about. I ever heard of Garage Week.
The universe. It's working with us today. but yeah, that nightmare sequence was just fantastic. It just makes me wish we had just a tad bit more, and I understand why we didn't, and I understand why we're not gonna have it. But oh man, just the little things, the little nuances. Like I said, you know, Cyborg with a freaking hood on, like Flash, just trying to cover himself up. That was great. Oh, almost like a Godspeed suit. Like, it looked fucking fantastic. And now you get why, you know, Batman versus Superman with that dream sequence makes sense right there. And then, just, you know, the Superman bowing down. If you look on any, like, these sites right now, they do, like, a comparison of, you know, that part where they show Lois dead and Superman crying and Darkseid picking him up. That's in actually Batman's cave. They do like a screenshot of that scene, and you see the back computer, you see Robin's suit. So wherever she's dead, she died in Batman, or at least in that Batman's vicinity. So that just speaks volumes for whatever they were trying to build right there with Superman as like this antagonist, this villain later on. Like, oh, I just wish we would have had that more. It just gives me chills, but I digress, guys. Like that Justice League, the Snyder Cut, in every way, is superior to everything that Josh Whedon thought he was trying to conceive in this movie. Whether it was the themes, whether it was the humor, the emotion, every little thing that was in this movie was vastly superior than the original. And I'm happy that a man who dealt with so much with tragedy in his life, especially with his daughter, to even putting that Hallelujah song in memory of her, because that is her favorite song of all time.
Oh, that Hallelujah song.
Ending the movie with that Hallelujah song.
Hit me hard.
It's just... yeah. That rendition did. Usually I'm like, meh with that song. Like, it gives me Watchmen vibes. But like, that rendition right there, that one hit me.
but I agree with you where, like, the original version just fails in comparison in every aspect to the Snyder Cut. Because even when I was watching the Snyder Cut, there's some parts where it's kind of like, okay, bro, what were you thinking? Where I text you or we spoke on the phone, and, you know, when they go back to Smallville and you see Lois in the original version, you smell good. This is a corpse that just woke up. Like, what are you talking about? And my man smells good. And then in the Snyder version, you know, oh, you spoke. You get what I'm saying? It's some stuff like that that's like, it's just like, bro, what were you thinking? That's why I said, yes, I do like Age of Ultron, but looking at Age of Ultron now, looking at Snyder Cut, bro, I'm sure Snyder could do a way better Age of Ultron. So, but yeah, it's way better in every level.
Oh, if it was Josh Whedon and he had Martian Manhunter, you would have made him have like a love interest with Martha somehow. And like, oh, you're not
you
know,
you stay up at night.
You got the man giver now.
You stay up at night. What the real?
No, he would have flown over and just been like, Martha, why do you know that name?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that would have made my day at the end of Justice League. He just wakes Bruce up in his little fucking little cabin in the woods. Martha, what are you doing? Fever dream. How you doing? Just to piss him off. Instead, my man is like, I'm here now. If you need help, what's up? Fly away, and Bruce is like, "Were you hella pointless right this? Now?"
He's like, "He said, here's my beeper number."
I wish he would have like, we could have used you like a couple of days ago or something like that. Just a slight gripe against him, but
he's in nutshell, bro. Guys, that's a whole fucking tree right there.
Do you guys have any last? Yeah. Any last thing
go watch
you
it.
Want to leave before we
go
head
watch
into,
it. Like, fuck the 4 hours. Fuck the little thing online. Just go watch it. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah, I agree with Jake. Go watch it. Don't listen to what people saying online. There's always gonna be people just to be different. Right. They're always gonna say something. But definitely do. Do yourself a favor if you haven't watched it. Yeah, you know, 4 hours is a little tough. I won't lie, it's a little tough, but it won't seem like it because it just keeps getting
bitch,
better.
How these people
from the beginning
binge watch shit on Netflix? Damn time, 4 hours ain't gonna be shit.
Oh no, I agree with you 1,000%. We're in an age where people binge watch a whole season. But, you know, I'm the dude that I can give you, like, at least 2 or 3 episodes in. But, like, 4 hours? Like, that's the only thing. But it wasn't bad, though. It went by fast.
I will agree to that 4 hours is a lot to give anything, any kind of attention these days. Especially, you know, as a parent and, you know, you're trying to do a whole bunch of things in your life. To dedicate 4 hours and to look at something is tough. But I will say, what the fuck are you doing in COVID?
True.
Like, you ain't doing anything else. Watch it and have a good time. Like, this movie speaks volumes. And it's a vision. Like, it's not like, you know, this like conglomerate company that's trying to give you their vision. No, it's one man's vision who he was trying to put together since day one, and said, you know what, I'm gonna complete it with my own goddamn money and show you what I thought. I think the Justice League is, and I thought it was just a masterpiece for itself. Like, I think this movie is Zack Snyder's masterpiece, and I'll say that. I have no problem saying that. He gets a lot of hate for his movies, and I appreciate like this movie.
There was an article saying that the Snyder Cut is 10% slower than the original version. So,
and I was like, "What? Yeah, exactly. That's a Jake gripe right there."
But no, I agree. Like, this is probably a top 10 movies for me and stuff like that. This was excellent.
Oof. And how do we follow that? Well, Marvel on the same week decided to throw a little show together, since one of our favorite shows, WandaVision, has came and gone. The Falcon and Winter Soldier debuted last week, and episode 2 will be showing up in a couple of hours from now. But let's talk about it, guys. You know what? I'll start off. I'm not going to do this whole comparison, like, oh, Justice League did this compared to Marvel and whatnot. That's not what I'm doing right here, because I thoroughly loved that first episode from start to finish. I think writing the coattails, I'm not going to try to say that, but writing the coattails of what WandaVision gave to pop culture and to the universe out there for people to sink their teeth into, the questions and the answers they never got. I think people need a palate cleansing a little bit. And I feel, this is my opinion, because I've seen so many other opinions out there, I feel like Falcon and Winter Soldier is a palate cleanser, and it's totally different than what you were seeing in WandaVision, but I think in the right ways. It's different, yet it has a soul and a heartbeat that makes sense for what they're trying to portray in this show. Jay, I'm gonna give it to you, because I know one of your favorite characters of all time is your boy Bucky Barnes. So I need to hear from you. Like, how did you feel? Yes. I know you've been anticipating this, but like, how did you feel going in?
Going into it, like you said, you know, Bucky Barnes, it's always enjoyable and pleasurable for me to watch. Pleasurable for me to watch him on the screen, as he is one of my favorite characters. And you know, comic-wise, this is a death that never really got reversed. In the comics, we see a lot of deaths get reversed. Even, you know, X-Men, you can say Charles Xavier came back young. It's a death that got kind of reversed. But Bucky's death never really got reversed, and I was always upset about that. So seeing him in the first Captain America, seeing him in Winter Soldier, is always great for me to see him. And now where we're seeing him kind of just like post, you know, Winter Soldier, post Brainwash, we're seeing him getting back to life. I mean, I just jumped into the first episode, I apologize, but it was good. It was freaking awesome. So I sank my teeth into it, because I'm like, okay, this is the Bucky that I want. I want to know what happened after, what's going on, and give me this all day. Just you trying to get back to your life before everything happened. You're out here dating once again. And it was very refreshing for me to see this, and I was super excited, and I'm excited to see where this series goes. How did you feel about it, Jake?
Well, you know...
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I wasn't expecting
to go last.
I mean, I will speak, you know, more. Like,
Frank had to, I don't want to say beg me, but he had to convince me to watch this, because I from the beginning, I have had no interest in this show whatsoever. Like, Falcon's cute, you know. I mean, that in as a physical way, and just like, oh, he's got little wings, you know.
Hey, but he was a freaking badass. You did not say no.
Listen, bro, Anthony Mackie, like, killed five people in that episode.
Your man, like, took out 10 people. I'm like, bro, like... No, yeah.
He didn't apprehend them. He killed them.
You chucking people in the canyon, bro.
You know, this little buggy had, like, flying around with him. Like, good for him. I'm just pissing off everybody.
You leave Redwood alone.
No, but I just had no, you know, but I was also the same way with WandaVision. I had no fucking interest in it whatsoever. So my thoughts after this was, you're right, it is a very different tone, very different pace. Honestly, I feel like it takes place like right after Endgame, and not in a bad way either, you know what I mean? Like, it's I'm interested to see, you know, what's gonna happen with these dudes, but like, I guess my favorite thing that I got out of the first one is honestly Bucky's just mental challenge with himself, like, you know, his nightmares that he's seeing, and the, you know, that battle that with the old man. I wish I would have seen, bro. But I get it, because he's very calculated. You know, he's very stern. Like, he doesn't show a lot of emotion, but like, I'm waiting for the scene where we do get that emotion out of him. Like, I'm really waiting for it, and maybe that's the whole point of it. Because even the back and forth with his therapist or psychiatrist was fantastic. You know, honestly, because it was so cold, especially from her. Like, her demeanor, I was like, oh, she's just going for it. Like, she's like, no, I'm not doing the happy talk. Like, we're here for a fucking reason, and you need to tell me, or I'm gonna write this shit down. You know, like, that was good. That was really good, but I'm just interested about what's gonna happen with the old man and his son. Like, is he gonna tell him? Like, what's he gonna do with that? Because that hit me hard. Like, it really did. Like, that was sad. Oh, yeah. And go ahead. I need to know more of, like, is it like civil rivalry that's happening there, or, you know, like, what is happening there? Like, that didn't really catch my interest that much, and I want to, but I don't know what's happening on that part of his life, and is it dealing with, you know, is it fame that's getting in the way? Is he kind of like obsessed with himself, and because he was obsessed with who he is now, is that why he just kind of left the family to just, you know, do things on their own, or what's happening?
I think you actually just hit the perfect caveat, because this is legit picking up everything after Endgame, because in WandaVision just really kickstart, you know, phase four or whatever. Yeah, phase four, where, you know, literally Vision, this was just like a few days ago where he just got bodied and everything happened in WandaVision, and here we're seeing, that's why I enjoyed it as well, this episode, because we're seeing all the ramifications of Endgame, people being blipped, people getting back to normal life living, where we saw him in the bank loan scene where he just got denied, because, you know, if I'm not mistaken, he got blipped, right? He got blipped as well. Yeah. So, he got blipped.
He got blipped.
He's coming back, trying to fit back into this puzzle that, you know, just kept going on for 5 years without him. So I think that's pretty freaking awesome where we're seeing this going on. And I think that's what's going on with him and his sister, where it's kind of like, you know, she dealt with the effects of the blip because she said that she lost her husband and raised two kids. And we're seeing him coming back. Like, she tells him, oh, you came back. Yeah, I appreciate you fighting the monsters and saving the world, but don't come back when I dealt with all this nonsense and try to just kind of impose who you are, what you did, and what's going on. So I think that's pretty impactful, where we're seeing them get back to their normal life. Like you said, that I have one of those moments where, kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio, where it hit me when he was on the date. I'm like, wait, when he came in the most epic, majestic, freaking Winter Soldier, just bodying everybody, Hail Hydra, I freaking gushed over that. And it hit me. I was like, God, you bodied the Tito. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I apologize. Hey, we're Puerto Rican here. I apologize. You know, yeah, you know how we speak. You know how I speak. But
you're good.
I'm like,
you're
good. My God, this is what I love about MCU. This is what I love about this universe. This is what I love about everything that they do. Everything is just very impactful, and they don't give it to you all in one shot. And then just seeing him at the end make amends, and just kind of like,
no, he didn't cross it out.
He circled it, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, there's still. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he still wants to redeem himself for that. So I'm just really, really, like I said, I like Falcon. He was badass. But I just want to see more of Bucky. And yeah.
I'll tell you why though. I'll tell you why. It's not that Anthony Mackie didn't portray a good character. It's not that Falcon is a bad character whatsoever in the comics. It's that he's been relegated to like a secondary character, not even like a secondary character, like almost a C-list character. Because in any of the movies, he's not really portrayed as like the greatest hero or like the hero to look up to. Like hell, even Rhodey has better moments than as War Machine than Falcon, and I think his part was so impactful for the minute that you had him there. I thought that was great. I think you need more Don Cheadle to kind of elevate Anthony Mackie in this position as Falcon. And I feel like we're going to get that as well, too. But I think it's because of the lack of character or character depth that you've seen in all these movies that Anthony Mackie has been in as a Falcon. It's such a departure when you get this military Falcon man. And then out of nowhere, you're like, oh, I'm going down to the bayou. I'm going to help everybody out. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get a loan for my sister and we're gonna get this boat going. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, I feel like there's such a character departure from the military stern man by the book, I need to do what I gotta do, to the family man. And I think if we had like an inkling of that throughout any of the movies, like I gotta get back to my sister, or I gotta get back to my parents, or I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I got business to take care of, then I think it would have been a little bit more accepted. But because since it's like it came out of nowhere, it's a little hard to grasp at first. But I don't think it's bad. I just feel like we need to educate ourselves, or at least we need to.
I think it works out.
Go for the ride.
I think that's what they're trying to do with these mini series. Where if you look at the Avengers, all it really is the big three: Thor, Iron Man, Captain America. Yeah, so. You know, some of these characters don't really get to shine. And kind of like one of the things that you said, where when WandaVision, we got to see a lot more of Olsen acting. We saw more Bettany, and it was refreshing. It was different. So I think this is kind of like their moment to shine. I get you. Like, we didn't see that through the movies, but I enjoyed it because even in that bank scene, it's kind of like, how do you guys make a living? You get what I'm saying? You're out there saving, but how do you make a living? So
Wait, not to cut you off. Did he say like charitable donations? Like, do they get paid by like tips?
Yeah, he was like charitable public donations tips? And you know, obvious help. I think it's very just like straight to the point, but I think it's cool because, you know, like I've always said in the past, these are larger than life characters, and you know, it's humanizing them in a certain way, and especially after the blip, it's pretty cool. And with these series, we're gonna see more of this. Like, we're gonna see with the Loki, with the whole time traveling and things like that. So I'm for it, bro. It very impactful.
I am too. I think that both characters had a lot to unload. I think everybody's gonna gravitate to the Bucky because the Winter Soldier, number one, he had his own goddamn movie, like revolved around him. So, and you see the cracks, like throughout like three movies, you've seen the cracks of his psyche break. So I love that. I love the spy espionage arc that they're going on with, like the little side characters revolving around that little
called the Flag Smashers.
I thought that was pretty cool as well.
That
too.
Was a freaking epic name.
Yes. Oh my god. So great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, great. Their mask, so great. Cult like mentality, so great as well too.
Torres. Torres. He got his ass body slammed.
Which one? Torres? Yo, Torres got wrecked.
Yeah, Torres
got
really wrecked. A lesser man would have just died after that stomp.
So, you know, I think that right there has like so many layers when it comes to this show right now. You get the Bucky redemption story. You get, you know, the Falcon like backstory with family. And of course, you know, you have this cult story rolling around. I'm gonna throw this at you guys. Is the meme of the new quote unquote Captain America
justified with all the hate that's getting right
first
now?
First of all, no, because first, this is just a legit rant real quick. For people saying that Bucky does not deserve the shield, educate yourself. Bucky did have the Captain America mantle, so, and he had one of the most tragic deaths in Fear itself. Because everybody's saying, no, it shouldn't be Bucky, it shouldn't be Bucky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got that out of my system. exactly, that was a garagely moment. So, as far as for the new Captain America, I get it, because if you look at it, this is supposed to be the U.S. agent. U.S. agent, and mm-hmm. he wasn't really the most majestic. Oh, I'm rivaling Captain America from the jump. You know, super patriot. Wasn't really majestic and beefy. And when he became the U.S. agent, he underwent a lot of process. What was that process? That power broker process where he became damn near indestructible.
Yeah,
and things like that. So, yeah. Okay, here. So.
You got okay, me. Yeah. You got me.
Yeah, I apologize. But yeah, no, I mean, I have no problem, because we're going to see the transformation from this little puny guy too. So I'm all for it. I have no problem with it.
I think it's funny. And the thing is, too, it's...
But you, Jake.
I honestly don't think that a lot of people know U.S. Agent. So, again, these are people that have never read the comics. These are people that are not familiar with the lore. So, of course, they don't see it. They don't understand it. And I'm going to mm-hmm. include myself in one of those, because, again, like, I just saw this fucking twink walk out with a, you know, cosplay of fucking... Captain America, and I'm like, what the hell just happened? You know what I mean? Like, damn, I should have applied for that. you know, now that, you know, you're giving me something more, then I'm like, okay. But again, this is only episode one, and we should know the MCU by now, right? You know, everything's gonna eventually have a purpose, or, you know, it's gonna be, you know, a pathway to something, so you gotta give it the benefit of the doubt. Now, the meme has a joke. It's funny. It is. But, you know, I know that there are people that are using it, again, to bash every decision, you know, writing that's being made. And again, that's more reason why I hate fan bases, because they're just fucking ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's my take on it.
I mean... Yeah, this happened.
Yeah, these are same here.
The same people saying, oh my god, WandaVision is black and white. This is so stupid. I waited 2 years for this. Like, give it time. Like Jay said, it's going to develop. MCU always works it out. And then I guarantee you, people are going to be by like third, fifth episode, I want some more soldier. Like, come on, people, just relax. And like I said, bro, U.S. Agent, I'm all for it, because remember, this is the guy that even synced with the Venom symbiote when he had like one leg and a little hook for an arm, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for it. We're not gonna deep dive into that, but like,
I'm all down for U.S. Agent. Like, you know, it just throws mm-hmm. another wrench in what they're going through with the Captain America story and who deserves the mantle. And I think I like the fact that, you know, Falcon didn't automatically accept the shield at first. That just shows that himself, he is not ready as a character or as a hero. He sees himself not ready for that. And of course, you have Bucky going through his own problems. He doesn't want the shield whatsoever. He has to deal with his own dichotomy. So I thought that was super interesting. I think this show it did. This episode, it really, you can see the pain that Bucky is going through. You know, Samuel Shaw from wrestling fans out there. Horrible. My man, you can actually see the pain in his eyes and the tension. And I was getting anxiety just from the moments that he was going to confess that he was a killer. I think... Oh, I'm gonna throw that out there, man. My man died before he says it. I'm gonna call those two. Dies?
Okay. See, but you know what? Before that happens, though,
yeah,
we have to know more of his relationship.
That's the fear that
came,
no matter what.
Like, why does he know them?
like, why does he know him, right? We didn't really get much of that, right? So, like, yeah, like it was out of, like, it was thrown in pretty quickly when you really think about it. It's really thrown in pretty quickly. It's like, oh, he knows this man. And turns out, oh, his son was killed. And no, it just turns out to be him, right? But no, why does he know him, though? Like, you know what I mean? And I think that will give it more, I think that will make it more impactful.
Well, what I took from it in this first episode, and I think it picks up where Captain America leaves off in general, is that Cap was always friendly with the old-timers because he sees himself as an old-timer. You know, he looks at anybody as a World War II or a Vietnam veteran, and he sees them as his age group. So you look 106. At Bucky, Bucky's the same way. Bucky's not hanging out with 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds. Bucky's hanging out with people that are... Exactly, like he's hanging out with people that are essentially around his age or maybe a little younger or whatnot, coming from Vietnam, coming from the Cold War, coming from World War II, whoever's still alive, God rest your soul. So, you know, that's his demographic. And, you know, when they're having conversations about, you know, homeboy dying from this infantry and whatnot, you know, he resonates with that character. I feel like that the old man, my man, he's like probably like a Vietnam vet.
Yeah, but he also
possibly
had some resonance.
And that kind of makes sense.
Befriending because he's that's making amends with his soldier pass.
Okay. Okay. No.
Yeah.
No.
That's
yeah,
true,
no,
too.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, no.
That's what I said.
You're saying,
like,
I
actually, no.
Their connection.
So what happened was.
Their connection is the little black book.
Oh, I'm not saying no, Jake. I'm just saying.
Rajli is the hashtag.
I'm kidding.
Hashtag Rajli.
My heart. I might go before that old man does. In a whole, though, I think it's a very it's a very smart episode. I think it gives you enough to pull you in. And it makes you feel captivated enough to reel you in for the next episode. I think there's a lot of layers that you could deep dive into. I, for one, I'll be honest, this is the first time since WandaVision I didn't go Easter egg hunting. I could have.
You know what?
I could have, but I didn't. I just enjoyed the show for what it was.
I agree with you. This is the first episode. This is the first show that I'm not going to Easter egg hunt. I'm not going to make any speculations or expectations or anything like that, because the carpet will get swept from under our feet. So I'm just gonna enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah,
the thrill ride it is, the movie that it feels like it is. I want some more GSP, Louis, you know, like, so. But I think it's a perfect follow-up to WandaVision, because it legit feels like, you know, like they said, WandaVision kicked off phase four.
Yeah, it's a great continuation. It shows the level of what Marvel is doing right now, cinematically, and of course in TV shows as well too. All right, if I have to throw this question out there, I hate to, but I'm gonna throw it as like a last bit right here. What's your expectation for this show? Like, what
I
do you
want
this show? I'm gonna throw it to Jake first.
I want closure with these people, and honestly, like, I want. It's weird, but that's really what I want. Like, I want closure with them, and I want them to find their place, and know that, you know, they have meaning more than, you know, the typical Avengers characters that we get. I think that's ultimately what the show may be trying to do. But again, we don't know. We'll never know until the very last episode. At the end, I expect something that's going to give us a taste of what's to come, you know, in the next phase or what have you. But ultimately what I want out of this, and it might just be what it is just, you know, character development of these two, you know, storylines, and, you know, what more that you can do with him. And that's what I want. I want closure with him, especially with Bucky. Like, God damn, that's tearing me up, bro. So we'll see.
Bro, now that he says the Bucky to closure, that line was freaking impactful, where he said that he just had a little bit of peace in Wakanda. I'm like, oh God. So, but I agree with Jake. I think it's time. Maybe this is just me just being too hopeful, and it's very tough to do. But with what we're getting with these Disney Plus series, I think it's kind of like Jake said. We need closures from these characters. Oh, there goes my Siri. Wow, now. I think it's time that we need closures from these characters. I think they should do that with these Disney Plus series. Give us a little bit of closure. Let's move on. We have the Kate Bishop series coming up. We got the Miss Marvel series coming up. We have Ironheart coming up. We did get Enter the Spider-Verse. I know it's not really, you know, MCU and stuff like that, but there's ways to incorporate Young Avengers. Let's just pass the mantle. We spoke about Teen Titans and stuff like that. Let's just start passing the mantle slowly and gradually to these new Avengers. And as much as we love an Iron Man, a Captain, and all that good stuff, I think it's time, you know, to just freshen it up a little bit. So I want to see a little bit of closure and just get into that next phase of the Young Avengers. Look, really, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay. Oof. Oof. I don't know if I want to disagree with you, Jay, or agree with you. I'll say that I agree that I do want for both your aspects. I agree on closure. I want closure from the old guard passing to the new guard. I agree with that. But something just makes me feel uneasy. And not that I don't want it. Like, I do want a Young Avengers, mm-hmm. or the Champions, as they like to call themselves now in the comic books. Like, I do want like a Kamala Khan and Miles Morales and, you know, a young Nova, whatnot. But like, mm-hmm. I don't want them as my Avengers just yet. And maybe that's a little selfish right now. And not to say that I want like my Tony Starks, or I want, you know, my Steve Rogers or whatnot, or Thor. What I wanted was the mantle kind of taken, mm-hmm. and maybe the new Avengers, like in the comics, the Avengers assemble. That's where we are right now, where there are no heroes. They announced that in that press conference toward the end, you know, that the world's in need of heroes. And that hit me really hard. I was like, huh, there are no heroes right now. And there are people that need to step up. And I feel like you have a cast ready. I'm not ready to see Kamala Khan as an Avenger. I'm all for her story to start. Same with Miles. Same with Chavez. America. Martinez.
I love it.
Chavez, excuse me. Look at me. I'm racist. I'm Puerto Rican. Can't even do my own fucking nationality. She's an alien. You know, so many young Avengers or champions that you could pick from. I get it. But I still want them in their quote unquote, to borrow Teen Titans from DC, their Teen Titans phase. I want them to level up eventually, yes. But I do, something that screams at me, we have the rights to people like Jessica Jones. We have the rights now to Luke Cage. And essentially, when it happened with House of M, and after, right before House of M or around that time, you had Avengers disassembled. So you had your Tony Starks, your Steve Rogers, your Bruce Banners taking the sideline, and you had people like Luke Cage step up as an Avengers leader, Jessica Jones, you know, Doctor Strange, you know, Rhodey as well too, Falcon, making their own Avenger team. And I feel like we would be robbed if we didn't get that at least once before we switch to, yay, we're kids, and now we're kids with more responsibility. I feel like that's leading to not dangerous territory, but territory that I don't think we need just yet. I think that's a slow burn.
No, so eventually, I get you.
Yeah, we finally got it.
Realistically speaking, like, who would be kind of into like the West Coast Avengers? You know what I'm saying? Like, because you got some characters in the West Coast Avengers that, you know, some people are still not introduced to. Like, you got Moon Knight. You got, you can do the Wasp. You can do Scarlet Witch. You can do the Vision. granted, maybe this is going to come out of it, but, you know, some characters people are not kind of hip to. And I get you. Yeah, it's definitely very ballsy. That's why I said in the beginning, maybe this is just me being hopeful. But I think I just, you know, I'm just gravitated to these characters. You know, we love Squirrel Girl. So, I mean, like, hell, I want to see a Squirrel Girl on the silver screen already. So, but maybe this is me. But I get you, though. I see the point that you're making.
I only say that because I feel like once we get there, we're not looking back, because now we have these child actors that we're going to grow with on the screen, and it's going to be a long time before they're like, you know, they're fully developed and we take the next one. Like, you know, they're fully developed as far as their full-fledged hero form is. So in the meantime, while we're developing those characters, and like I said, like, this is me wishful thinking, because we haven't developed a Luke Cage besides the TV show, but that's not connected to the Marvel Universe. You know, there are characters like Iron Fist that you could do right, Luke Cage, Daredevil, and whatnot. Even though I don't see Daredevil as an Avenger, even though he is, I don't. You have these characters that are ripe for the picking, Moon Knight and whatnot, but you're not going full force with them. And I feel like they should have let the groundwork just a tad bit, or maybe introduce them in a way where you could see it coming a mile away. And I feel like there's no trajectory for those characters. We're going straight to kids rule the world.
No.
And I don't know. I just have a little problem with that. Just a little hopeful.
But from what we saw with WandaVision, you know, Vision coming back, Scarlet Witch, Multiversum, Photon, US Agent was a West Coast member as well. So maybe these are all little caveats.
It's true.
Like you said,
it's true.
It's too soon to get to the Young Avengers, but we're laying these little breadcrumbs to get West Coast Avengers. So I don't know. But maybe it's just me getting ahead of myself.
Jake's like, fuck
garage.
Garagely.
Yeah, you know.
Last minute thoughts on Falcon Winter Soldier.
It keeps me curious. I mean,
I'm not surprised at his answers, because I asked him, I was like, you're gonna watch Winter and Falcon Winter Soldier? Yeah, I'm probably not gonna do it.
I appreciate you for doing that first episode, Jake. If you don't pick it back up,
again, I appreciate you. Catch my curiosity. That's all you gotta do.
Catch my curiosity. Drew him in. Yeah, it already drew him in with the therapy scene, bro. I'm telling you, it already kind of drew him in.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for those two right here. A little for next week, a little update for next week. Jay, we wish that you were in the Arizona area wholeheartedly, because if you were, you would possibly join me and Jake in our adventure to the movie theater as we dodge into the world.
F you guys, I'm out.
Yes, we are. in every right way. And I you know, look, my God, you know, Jake was my buddy for Godzilla King of Monsters, and I almost saw him break down with Mothra, so I can I can imagine the emotions that's going to happen in this movie. Will it be a success? Will it be an utter letdown? We will see next week, and we'll definitely give you our thoughts and opinions on that. And hell, we're definitely probably going to watch it more than once, so we'll probably throw that watch party on like we did with Justice League.
Yeah,
just to bring Jane to the picture as well, too.
Oh, bro, I'm ecstatic. I refuse to watch any more trailers.
Are you excited, Jake?
I thought of one, and that's it. Like, I'm not reading anything about it. Like, I'm ready to see it. I'm going to see it.
Same here.
I'll probably be drunk too.
It's not a Hellboy situation. We're gonna actually go into this and enjoy
it. I'm not opposed to getting drunk for this.
Even though
we had a lot of goddamn fun
with Hellboy. I'm just saying. The more human parts of this movie, we're gonna probably have like meh. But you know, give us like monsters smashing each other all day, I think we're gonna be okay. All right, credential time.
You know, I'm gonna go with Jay first because whenever I mention this to Jake, he gives like 5 seconds of bullshit. So
5 seconds of bullshit. So I'm not the one getting disrespected now for my blandness.
He's like, find me here. I'm back.
I'm done. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Where do I start? Yeah. My Instagram and my Twitter. If you guys want to hit me up directly, hit me up at SunEaterUA. That's my Instagram and my Twitter. If you guys like the fun that we're having here and the craziness and the madness that we're doing here, hit us up on Elite Wrestling Audio, where Val and I, and we're going to get Jake on that because Jake is getting back into wrestling. Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, Jake is going to be the jumping down garage. Allegedly. We're going to get him on there. But yeah, Elite Wrestling Audio, where we talk about wrestling. And that podcast is everywhere. That has an Instagram, a Facebook, and a Twitter as well. Elite Wrestling Audios, check that out. If you guys love MMA, UFC 260 is coming up this Saturday. Hit up
the
Chronicles. I'm sorry. I just saw the more. No, because.
That was the best.
Right now, I was like, wait, what's going on? The Gamora Chronicles, yeah, that has a Facebook, Instagram, and a Twitter, and that podcast is everywhere. And we talk about MMA news, actions, reactions, and everything. So hit us up there. Video games, if you guys love video games, like we talk about video games here, we also do video games on Lag Switch, and that's on Instagram, and that podcast is on Spotify and Apple. Yeah. Those are my credentials.
I don't have any right now because I'm a work in progress. You know, yes. I'm under renovation.
I love it.
Eventually, I'll be back. Yeah. And that's all that
aren't
matters.
We all, Jake?
But
aren't
for the meantime, you will find me on these lovely gents hijacking their podcast for my own until. No, but yeah, if you really want to find me, you can always find me on the Pop Culture Fanatics Facebook page, or you can find me here giving my two cents as it is, on PCF, Lag Switch Gaming, and maybe even one day, we'll be talking about some wrestling.
No, we doing the Elite Wrestling Audio. Yeah, how?
See, you see how I get treated as a one gay?
You're coming on this. We're talking about tidy whities and men.
Suddenly, everything's
each other.
All about them. Excuse me. Equip me.
It's about
equip
tidy
me, sir.
Whities and oil.
I said,
listen,
with his wings.
You were the one talking about how cute. Like, oh, you were talking with, how you know, cute Anthony Mackie was. You, right? Oh, look at Falcon.
Like a fucking. It's a human kite. That's essentially what he is. He's
this
a fucking human
ain't no
kite, Kawhi. Man. But anyway. So that's where you can find me. I'm waiting for our next week where we can talk about Granny Goodness because I'm totally. I've been looking at Granny Goodness this last half of this podcast, bro.
Yo, bro. Granny Goodness?
She was in Smallville.
You leave Granny Goodness alone. Yeah, you leave that. Granny Goodness is gonna bring the hoppies, okay? And the hoppies are gonna come fucking whip ass to Wonder Woman, you know, Big Bartha.
Big
it's gonna be my
that's
new
the one that I know the
I'm
most.
But anyway, right that is all for me.
What, Granny Goodness?
Granny Goodness?
I don't like this comic book fat Granny Goodness, bro. Like, I don't like that one. I like, no. No, I
what are you talking about? That's the Granny Goodness I love. Okay. No. She chubby butch.
Nah,
look
bro.
Her up in the Superman
look
animated
look at,
show.
Look
she chubby butch
like she
all day. She's
no, I'm done. No. That's who she looked like, bro.
She got
the
Ursula
like
voice
I'm
too, which is
it.
Even better. Don't forget body language. Guys, if you go on to read Pop Culture Fanatics, it's everywhere. Instagram at PCF Podcast, Twitter at PCF Podcast. Facebook at Pop Culture Fanatics. If you want to find Granny Goodness,
they got
please.
The chick from Misery casted as Granny Goodness.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. What's her name? Kathy Bates. That's a bro. The fact that we didn't get Kathy Bates as Granny Goodness is a crime. Okay. All right. The devil. Perfect. But yes, everywhere Jake's on it, you know, Jay's on it, Apple, Spotify, everywhere that podcasts are known, Podbean, Flick the Beam, it's all out there. Me myself, Lucha Val Cisco on Instagram and on Twitter. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Just
why is Jake so MIA? Yeah. It's been epic, brother.
We all got a Granny Goodness in ourselves.
He's looking in the mirror and said, "I feel like Granny Goodness."
Fucking lipstick on, rubbing lipstick on my face.
Picture Jake just singing Cruella de Vil, looking at himself.
I'm done.
It puts the lotion on its skin.